Ezekiel was designated by the Lord to be the watchman for the house of Israel. The watchman had a very important responsibility. He had to make sure that he was never lax in his duty, because the safety of the city, as well as those placed in his charge, were on his shoulders. He had to have a discerning eye, able to see from a great distance if the one who approaches is friend or foe. He was the one that was responsible for sounding the alarm. What the people did with that warning was up to them. While to some degree, every one of us who have been baptized is called to be the watchman, for we join in Jesus' office as prophet, the Pope, bishops, clergy share an essentially important role to be the watchman for the people of God, as they are entrusted to this task for the salvation of souls, always keeping in mind the narrow path that leads to heaven and the broad path that leads to hell. The watchmen must bear the truth of God to be beacons of light. Not too long ago, on August 20th, the Bishop of Providence, Rhode Island, Bishop Thomas Tobin, tweeted the following: "I don't subscribe to dire forecasts of the end times, but with horrible wildfires out west, tropical storms in the ocean, widespread drought, a global pandemic, political division, and anger in the streets, one has to wonder. We'd better return to God now, just in case." The bishop is sounding the alarm. The bishop is not the only one who is doing this. Seeing the things that are happening and transpiring in the world around us, it does make us all question if indeed the end is near. While some have come back, others continually find themselves living apart from God and His grace. I believe his message of saying just in case was a way to soften the very dire message he communicated, perhaps in a way to make it more palatable to those who would never consider it. Nevertheless, there is only so much that God can endure from sinful mankind. While Jesus mentions, of course, in Matthew 24:36, that only our Heavenly Father knows when the end will be, he also calls us to be alert and watchful in Matthew 25:13. The whole point of this is to make sure that we are vigilant and not to walk as if, you know, we're walking with this high anxiety. It's good to have that kind of awareness. Even in the Catechism, paragraph 675, 677, before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover, when she will follow her Lord in his death and resurrection. A religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. Apostasy here is that abandonment of throwing away the truth. How do we know that we are being deceived or not? How do we know that we are in the place in which God needs us to be, for us to be in His good graces? A very quick and succinct way of looking at that would be asking ourselves the question: are we trying to make our heaven on earth, or are we preparing for heaven while on earth? Are we trying to make our heaven on earth? Meaning, are we seeking our ultimate joy, our happiness, our security in the things this world says it will offer to us? Or are our lives being conformed each and every day to the heart of Jesus, where we are continually dying to ourselves, asking our Heavenly Father for His will to be done in us, living in that abandonment to divine providence. Part of that discernment incorporates that which we should know all too well. That is, are we following the church that has the four marks? It is something in which we profess every time we say the creed here at Holy Mass, when we pray the Holy Rosary, hopefully offering that during our 54-day Rosary Novena, where we believe in one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. It's important to keep these marks in mind to ensure that what we believe, what we subscribe to, what we follow is truly from God and is not from a false gospel. If it has no grounding in that, if we don't hear that these things come from the apostles and their disciples, that is the early church fathers, then how do we know that we are following the true teachings of Jesus and not looking to that false gospel that no longer challenges us, but instead makes us complacent with our sins? That tells us it is not we who need to change, it is the church that needs to change. The false gospel that speaks of solutions while abandoning the truth is worthless. It's prevalent today. If people don't like what the priest is saying, what the religious are saying, they can go somewhere else. They can seek that out. You know, I hear fathers more lenient about this. Well, let me go there. Then I can assuage my conscience. I can feel better about myself. I don't have to feel as if I'm doing something wrong. But where else is that leading? Is that leading to the truth? Or is that leading us far from the truth? Leading us far from heaven? We have to be grounded in the truth, lest we fall into the deception and not pass the final trial. There is one key moral issue that we as Catholics need to be united together. And for ever since its beginnings, has caused dissension among the faithful. Some who are for it, some who are against it, some who say, well, what does the church teach? And again, you can go to any priest, get different thoughts about it. But what do we truly believe? First off, what am I talking about? Well, I think the thing that we all need to get behind regards the issue of abortion. It is the most grievous sin of mankind that has caused the most deaths of any cause. Looking at the year 2016, in the United States alone, over 920,000 deaths were caused by abortion. The second leading cause of death, heart disease at 635,000, followed by cancer, 600,000. But maybe those numbers aren't something that we can easily grasp with. Well, what about the coronavirus? What about COVID? What are the numbers associated with that? Well, as of yesterday morning, looking that up, it's reported that there are 188,000 deaths caused by COVID. And of course, we all have our ideas or thoughts about the accuracy of the number, but that's the number, nevertheless, that is being touted, 188,000. Compare that with this year's current death toll by abortion, 585,000. 585,000. And how often do we hear that in the news? Every day, every hour, every minute, it seems, we're always hearing about the coronavirus and all its devastating effects. But what of abortion? And some people ask and wonder, well, why does the priest have to talk about it? You know, why has he got to take the time to talk about something political? First and foremost, this is a moral issue. And secondly, it's because it's not anywhere else. You're not going to find it in the news. You're not going to find it in social media. It's because it doesn't promote their agenda. It doesn't promote what they want you to hear. And so that's why we're called to be the watchmen, to let you know what is going on, what is happening, what they're not telling you. 585,000 deaths by abortion this year. With 62.2 million deaths since 1973 in the United States, and a total of over 1.5 billion worldwide since 1980, the reality is you and I are going to have to respond to that. I said before, it's important to look at the apostolic times. Did the apostles say something about this? Did the early church fathers say something about this? There's a document called the Didache. It's the teaching of the 12 apostles, authored around the year 70. And in the year 70, this is what they wrote. You shall not procure an abortion, nor destroy a newborn child. In the year 74, you have the letter of Barnabas. Thou shalt not slay the child by procuring abortion, nor again shalt thou destroy it after it is born. 300 years later, in the year 374, by Saint Basil the Great, let her that procures abortion undergo 10 years penance, whether the embryo were perfectly formed or not. Saint Jerome, in the year 396, some go so far as to take potions that they may ensure barrenness and thus murder human beings almost before their conception. Some, when they find themselves with child through their sin, use drugs to procure abortion, and when, as often happens, they die with their offspring, they enter the lower world laden with the guilt, not only of adultery against Christ, but also of suicide and child murder. Some say to be pro-life means to be more than just talking about abortion. Hey, you're missing on the other topics that are also pro-life. What about racism? What about poverty? Have you ever thought about climate change, healthcare, income inequality? How about the death penalty? While those issues ought to be looked at and addressed, this tactic to introduce other worthy causes is an attempt to make this issue of abortion relative, to minimize its importance. Imagine if people, years and years ago, said that about slavery. Slavery is bad, but to be anti-slavery also means standing up against unfair trades in textiles, corporal punishment, cruelty to animals, and workers' rights. The argument is insulting as it chooses to set up a straw man, this imaginary individual who thinks of abolishing only one issue and one issue alone, when in reality, this is far from the case. In Detroit, there's the existence of Mary's Mantle, an organization that takes pregnant mothers who are unable to financially support themselves and their children and takes them into a home, cares for them, provides them with education, the materials they need, and not just when the child is born, but even afterwards. You even have pro-lifers who will recommend adoption as a loving option. You also have, when I was in St. Michael and Monroe, an organization called Heartbeat of Monroe that specialized in helping families by providing free services and education related to pregnancy and parenting, offering counseling, ultrasound services, parenting classes, baby and toddler necessities, all for free. Father Dwight Longnecker says it's necessary to make distinctions in degree as well as in kind. As far as degree, all issues do not have the same level of importance. Do we really think that the murder of a defenseless, innocent child in the womb is the same as the execution of an unrepentant serial killer? In terms of kind, he says, income inequality, migration, and climate change certainly affect the quality of life, and if the quality of life is bad enough, it may cause the end of life. But these issues are not primarily concerned with the loss of life. Abortion is. Now, for those who have undergone abortion, know that there is healing and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Know that He is merciful. He wants to heal and restore you. But my brothers and sisters, we all need to stand together against abortion. We need to be the watchman. In the end, we will all be responsible in what we have done and in what we have failed to do.